Here's a quick word from our football educational partners over at the Scouting Academy.
Listen, we've said it all the time. If you love the analysis and you're passionate about football, then you really need to check out the Scouting Academy. Whether you're a football coach, aspiring writer, or even aspiring football agent, the Scouting Academy is really a perfect place for you to learn and develop your skills as an analyst. With curriculum that spans over 375 years of coaching and personnel experience, the Scouting Academy offers you a 16-week online course that you can tailor and build to meet your needs and your interests. Whether you're learning about wide receivers or defensive linemen, you can make the experience what you want it to be. Listen, I've said it to you on this podcast many times. I've spent my own money, my own time, and time away from my friends and family because I am just this passionate about this game. And the Scouting Academy is the place where I really feel like I've learned the most I've ever learned about the game of football. It's made me a better analyst. It's made me a better person in terms of the coaching I do on the field. I can't say enough great things about it. If you have any questions about the Scouting Academy, please don't hesitate to reach out to Dan Hatman on Twitter or reach out to the Scouting Academy online via email. I'm open to all questions as well. Heck, I'm still even a student there myself. Please don't hesitate to reach out. I really think that once you learn all the tools and gain the knowledge that they have to offer, I really think you're going to be absolutely excited about the game of football again.
This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
Welcome back to another edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. I am Paul Perticchese, and joining me as always is Mr. Matt Caraccio. Matt, it's combine time. You know, some people call it the Underwear Olympics. We call it the SATs of the NFL. It's upon us.
I don't really know what to say other than, like, this is probably one of the most widely, I feel like, tuned in types of, events. And yet, I just don't know how much it's going to necessarily move the needle for everybody, especially this year. As you look across the board, when you look at the running backs, you look at the wide receivers, tight ends, quarterbacks. I mean, you know, I think to open up the show, it would just be valuable to at least kind of unpack the combine itself. I know we do this every year, but for new listeners out there, you know, the combine is what it is, Paul, and I think that it's a data point, and that's kind of where we need to view it. But it I don't know if it really moves the needle significantly in terms of where, in terms of their talent on the field. I do know it moves the needle in terms of draft capital, so that's something to pay attention to. So I'm excited. I really am, because this is definitely one of the biggest events of the year.
Yeah, and let's be honest, you know, we love it. It's turned into a four-day spectacle and event for the league, but probably the most important stuff that happens is nothing that we see on TV, is nothing in terms of measurements and times. You know, it's more the interviews and the medicals are probably the stuff that the NFL teams take the most from. In terms of their heights and weights, I think it's important to get actual measurements, because it's amazing just how off sometimes the collegiate measurements are. And then sometimes even the measurements that we get from like the Shrine Game or Senior Bowl are a little bit off. And there's so many underclassmen. I think that number is like 136 this year. So we don't have any actual measurements for those guys. If they were a top senior, they probably played at one of the All-Star games and we get measurements. But some guys don't go to those events, like Josh Allen, the edge rusher from Kentucky. So there's guys that we don't have actual measurements for. So again, their heights and weights, you know, I think is important. You know, their hand sizes for certain things, those thresholds that NFL teams look for, whether they should or they shouldn't, they still exist. There's still things that people talk about. Then in terms of the athletic testing, listen, I think it is what it is. I still think it's useful information because it does put people on a level playing field. It takes the person who plays in the SEC, and then you can at least compare him somehow to the guy who played, you know, Division I AA, you know, or Division II, or, you know, a non-Power 5 conference. Yeah, this at least puts everybody on the same playing field, at least to compare their athletic testing and their measurements, how fast they run, how quick they are, how explosive they are, their jumps, their agility drills, all that stuff. It at least puts people on a level playing field. So I think it's great for breaking ties that you have, maybe amongst a tier, you know, where we just are coming up 3-tier episodes, you know, and I know for the tight ends and the wide receivers, we have these wide tiers that there's a lot of people really close within the tiers that the athletic testing could kind of help break some ties. And I wouldn't be surprised if NFL teams do that too, that they have guys rated very similarly, very closely, and they use the combine and their athletic testing to say, you know what, this guy tested out a little bit better athletically. He's a little bit more explosive. You know, let's put him one spot higher than this guy who, you know, we basically had the same grades on, but we got to kind of pick somebody and we use their athletic test to kind of say, let's go with the better athlete. So I think that's where the combine is valuable. I think it makes people go back to the tape if they see something, you know, at the combine in terms of athletic testing that they didn't see on tape, and that could be good or bad. Maybe they see a more explosive athlete at the combine that they didn't see on film, and they have to go back and watch more and see if they missed something, or vice versa. Maybe they see something, you know, at the combine, a guy tests really poorly, and maybe it makes them go back and look at the film and see, you know, maybe was that production, you know, warranted in terms of their athletic capabilities, or was it more scheme based? Was it more, you know, maybe it was the level of competition, or what was it? So I think it can work both ways. I still think there's a lot of merit to it. I don't think it should be dramatically swinging people's rankings that a guy can be like 25 and go to 2 or anything crazy like that. But I do think it could help sort out tiers. I think it could send you back to the film for a variety of reasons. And I do think it at least puts everybody on a level playing field to say, yeah, this guy is faster than this. This guy, you know, does have this type of explosiveness. So I take it for what it is. It's not the be and end all. It's another data point. And I think it's intriguing to see these guys all at the same spot.
No, I'm not going to disagree with the rationality you bring to it. I mean, listen, there's an entire contingency of people that are on the extreme where they say it's useless. There's an entire contingency that say it's everything. It's everything. This is where we get to take this standardized test and we begin to build out percentile rankings, and we can begin to look for comps throughout the entire list and history of this particular event and see where players kind of fall on the spectrum of archetypes or player styles or profiles that might end up being somewhat indicative of their future performance value and their future ability. I sit like you somewhere in the middle, probably a little bit favoring more of the end that says it has minimal value. And that's not because I don't think it's interesting. And it's not because I don't think these physical capacities are important to investigate. I do. I see merit in it. I'm just starting to understand that, you know, these capacities, these physical capabilities that we're hoping to measure, and this is like, you know, when we're talking about the vert, when we're talking about the long jump, when we're talking about the three cone or the L drill, when we're talking about bench press, when we're talking about the 40-yard dash, we're trying to measure these physical capacities in hopes of understanding what these guys are capable of, so that way we as coaches or we as organizations understand kind of the breadth and depth of their untapped potential.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're 100% right there. You know, we're trying to figure out, you know, the best possible way to evaluate all these prospects, you know, and basically say, you know, who stands out amongst all of them. And like you said, I think you're right. I do think, you know, does it have tremendous weight? No. And if it does, I think, you know, that's foolish for people to dramatically, you know, change their philosophy, change what they're doing. But I do think the NFL teams, I mean, I know the Seattle Seahawks in particular are a team that has constantly, you know, utilized their athletic testing, especially when it comes to like day three UDFA prospects. They're constantly using that, you know, athletic measurements to take those better athletes later in the late rounds or as priority free agents because they see merit in that. So I think it goes both ways. I can see the arguments where people say it's foolish that it has any merit. I can see the people who say, You know, it gives us data points where we can make an athletic profile to help us with comps. That, you know, that's another, you know, thing. But I'm not going to go all the way to one side, pro or con, in terms of the merit of the combine. Like I said, I think it has its merit, but I think you have to know how to utilize it. I think it's great for breaking ties, great for helping you organize within tiers. And it just allows you to maybe go back and look for more things when you're watching your film. So that's kind of what it is. So why don't we kind of get right into it tonight and start talking a little bit about the positional groups, things that we're looking forward to here at the combine. You know, we'll start with the quarterbacks, then we'll go to the running backs, and then we'll finish it off with the wide receivers and tight ends. So first at the quarterback position, I think there's a lot of names that intrigue at the quarterback position. I think the most important name at the quarterback position that probably brings the most intrigue is Kyler Murray. You know, he came out a couple weeks ago. He announced that he is going to be at the combine. He's going to do all the events, is what we're hoping for, but we don't know that for sure yet. There hasn't been any, you know, he came out and said, yeah, I'm fully committed to football, but we haven't heard one way or another yet on whether or not he is actually going to throw at the combine, run the 40, do the agility drills. So I think that's the biggest story at the quarterback position. You know, what does Kyler Murray do at the combine? How great does he test out athletically? I mean, I think we're all pretty confident he's going to test out as a really good athlete, but how good does he test out, I think, is one thing that will be of major intrigue. Does he throw, I think, is something that teams are going to want. But let's be honest, I think the biggest part of Kyler Murray being at the combine is going to be, one, getting actual measurements on him, a height and a weight, and then two, those interviews where Kyler Murray gets put into a room with, you know, GMs and coaches, and they ask him about his commitment to football. And, you know, they ask him things, you know, he was getting peppered with questions on the Dan Patrick show and he didn't have good answers. NFL teams are going to want to see him much more polished in his answers. They're going to want to know that he's fully committed to football over baseball. And it's not something that in the back of his mind, he's going to constantly be thinking baseball might be the way to go. And I think that's something that is going to be a big storyline. I mean, we're going to hear it over and over on the TV coverage about Kyler Murray and, you know, how big of a week it is for him and how big of an event it is. And it's probably going to get a little bit cumbersome on how much they're going to talk about Kyler Murray, but it's going to be important for him. I hope he competes in everything. He's going to run fast, so just run the 40. Check that box off and look explosive. To this day, I'll never understand why Lamar Jackson didn't run it last year. That didn't hurt his value. He still ended up going in round one. But if you're that athletic and you have that elite type of athleticism, just show it off there. There's no harm in showing it off. Him throwing the ball, I don't know. He hasn't been preparing for the combine, so I do think that's one of those things that's interesting. Kyler Murray is going to be the major storyline at the quarterback position, and it's just going to be depending on what he does at the combine. Is he willing to do all the events? And even if he's not, he's still going to garner a ton of attention. Matt, any thoughts on Kyler Murray? Obviously, we still don't know yet what he is or isn't going to do, but, you know, I think it's hands down, he's the storyline, right, at the quarterback position for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kyler Murray is the quarterback position story. I think we're not going to get much out of it from this combine preview. I don't think we're going to get anything from it from the combine itself. I do think, though, however, what we will get is at least some idea of what he looks like on the big stage throwing to receivers that he's never worked with. And we have a real opportunity to maybe kind of just kind of look at what type of off the cuff, random situation type of timing and type of touch that he has in terms of his arm talent. I do think that there is something to be said about that, which is why I really do focus more on those on the field drills, because even though those drills are completely disassociated from the actual game itself, and I get that, and I get that there is not information representative at all, it at least gives me a better approximation of something that might relate to the game than maybe just kind of the drills that they actually measure. Bergeron. So I am actually interested in seeing Kyler Murray just go through the motions, throw to a bunch of receivers he's never done and never thrown to, and seeing what type of arm touch and arm talent he has. Can he put it on the line? Can he throw the out? Like, what does it look like? What does it look like with he's never worked with?
Yeah, and I mean, that's why, you know, I keep harping. I hope that he does decide to throw. I mean, I think that's still to be determined. And I'm hoping that, you know, he came out and said he's fully committed to football. And that means, you know, maybe say answering the bell at the combine. But I'm not sure because maybe he hasn't been fully preparing for it. So maybe it's up in the air of whether or not he does that and he's going to wait to his pro day. You know, that's something we're going to have to wait and see. In terms of other quarterbacks, I don't think there's a ton of other big storylines. I mean, we saw Daniel Jones and Drew Locke and Jared Stidham and Will Greer and Ryan Finley. We saw all those guys at the Senior Bowl. I don't think the combine is going to do anything for those guys that the Senior Bowl already didn't, you know? So I think all five of those guys, I can't imagine anything that those guys do that's visible in terms of us watching on TV is going to make us change in any way, shape, or form our opinion on these guys. I don't think it's going to change NFL teams' opinions. I think for those guys, the most important thing will probably be the meetings, you know, with the teams, the work on the whiteboard, because I don't think we're going to garner too much out of those guys. And then the other big name is obviously, you know, Dwayne Haskins. It's going to be the first chance for us to see him in this setting. You know, does he throw? I mean, again, a lot of these guys haven't came out. Sometimes we don't know until the day of, you know, but I think for him, the whiteboards and the meetings will be big, but I'd like to see him out there. Just kind of, like you said, working with these receivers he's never worked with before, just kind of airing it out. People have some questions, not that he doesn't have the arm talent to make vertical throws. He obviously does, but that is still one area that people say that they have slight concern with, that he's not as accurate, you know, vertically down the field. So it'd be nice to kind of just see him let it rip out there in terms of that. But besides that, I don't really see many other big storylines from the quarterback position. Is there anything else from the quarterback, even one of the names I mentioned that you're looking for?
Well, you know what? Let's fabricate a storyline right here, right now, on the fly. Ready? Fabricate a storyline. Because I'm thinking it's interesting to at least kind of call a couple of shots. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Yep.
Ready, Paul? All you can do is look at a list. Here we go. Ready? Who is going to have the most buzz exiting the combine? Give me one player not named Kyler Murray and not named Dwayne Haskins that has the most buzz, meaning potential increase in draft stock exiting the combine. Ready? Go.
I'm going to say Tyree Jackson out of Buffalo because his arm talent will wow people on the on-field drills.
I'm going to say Jared Stidham. Okay. All right. Next storyline. Ready? Who is going to run the fastest 40? That's easy.
I mean, I think the bigger question is if Kyler Murray runs, he runs. I'm going to put you back on the spot, and then I'll answer the same question. 4.45 over under on Kyler Murray's 40 time if he runs it.
I'm going to say under.
Yeah, I'm going to say under too. I think he'd come in like 4.
And by the way, I didn't necessarily mean that just for quarterbacks. Actually, if we generalized it, I was going to say, do you think Kyler Murray, I really should have said this. This is us doing it on the fly, guys. You can finally hear it for the first time. On the actual fly, do you think Kyler Murray would have a 40 time that would rival even the best or fastest wide receiver? Do you think he could be that fast?
I think he'll run fast. I think there will be some guys in the wide receiver position that run in the 4.3s. So I think, listen, when at the end of the combine, if you make a list of the top 10 or top 15, I wouldn't be stunned to see Kyler Murray on that list, but I don't think he'll be in like the top 5 of the entire combine. Could be wrong, but I don't know if he's going to be that fast. I mean, it would be fun if he is, you know, but I don't think he's going to be in the top 5 of the entire combine. I think more like top 15, but I do think he's going to be sub 4.45 if he runs it. I think the greater question is, let's take him out of it. You got a name from the rest of the quarterbacks who you think runs the second fastest 40 time, or if Murray decides not to run it, who you think might run the fastest 40 times? I think there's a couple interesting names. I'll even throw a couple names out there. I think Nick Fitzgerald out of Mississippi State, Drew Lock, I think, has some sneaky athleticism. I think those would be the two guys, and Easton Stick at North Dakota State. To me,
yeah.
And Trace McSorley out of Penn State. I think it would be one of those four guys.
You just took everybody that I was going to mention. You mentioned all five of them.
Okay, so who's the guy? Pick one.
I'm going to say Trace McSorley. If I have to take one guy, I'm going to take Trace McSorley. And the reason why I'm going to take Trace McSorley over Easton Stick and all those guys is because, just like Easton Stick, actually, I feel like Trace McSorley had to do it very often. Just like Nick Fitzgerald, just like all the guys that you did. You know who I wouldn't be surprised at, Paul? Yeah, I'm going to throw it out there. You know who I really wouldn't be surprised at? To just at least be in the conversation, maybe. I mean, do we really think that, you know, Will Grier and Daniel Jones aren't that quick? I mean, I could see them going a little faster than we think. It's possible. I'd still put my money, or my mouth, so to speak, and money with Trace McSorley.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I had to pick one, I'd probably say McSorley too. I do think Nick Fitzgerald's going to run a pretty good time too. I could see, you know, he's a lot thicker than a guy like McSorley. So I think that's where McSorley is size and frame gives him the advantage over Fitzgerald. I think Fitzgerald is more of like a Tim Tebow size, but I think he's probably going to run like a 4.6 something. It's going to be a pretty good time. But yeah, I think you said a couple guys. I think a guy like Daniel Jones or Will Grier might have a little bit, you know, sneaky. I remember last year you mentioned and called a pretty good shot that you thought Kyle Loletta would run one of the fastest 40 times of guys not named Lamar Jackson. And he ended up, you know, wasn't a great time or anything, but he ended up being one of the quicker 40 times there. So I think you're going to see some guys that maybe we wouldn't have expected run better times. But I do think if you take Kyler Murray out of it, I do think Trace McSorley, Nick Fitzgerald, you know, are two of the guys who will probably run the next fastest 40 times. You know, to kind of round out the quarterback discussion here, it'll be interesting to see Kyle Shurmur, you know, obviously Pat Shurmur's son. I think he played at the NFLPA bowl game. So he wasn't at the Shrine game or the Senior Bowl. So this is an opportunity for him to kind of be in front of people. So that's kind of, you know, kind of fun to see a little bit. And I just think, you know, I think overall, it's a deep group of quarterbacks. You know, guys like Clayton Thorson, who, you know, Jim Nagy of the Senior Bowl director, you know, said that a lot of NFL teams were very intrigued by him, and he couldn't play in the Senior Bowl due to an injury, so we'll get a chance to see him. So there's some guys that weren't at the Senior Bowl. We'll get a chance to see all the guys from the Senior Bowl, and then obviously Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins will be the big storylines at the quarterback position. So, Matt, let's take this to the running back position. Because I think the running back position is pretty intriguing because, like, last year, I think the big storyline was, okay, Saquon Barkley, just how much is he going to blow up the combine? How fast is Nick Chubb going to run after, you know, the injuries that he had suffered in college? Is he still going to have that explosive athletic testing like he did coming out of high school? I think the running back position is a little bit up for grabs in terms of intrigue. You know, you have guys like Rodney Anderson, who's not going to perform at the combine. The latest news I heard, he's hoping to have a pro day before the NFL, before the actual NFL draft. So that'll be something that we'll keep a close eye on. You know, one of the top running backs, you know, if you take injuries off to the side. Is there a few names, Matt, as you kind of glance over the running back list that kind of are the guys that you're most excited just to kind of see their athletic testing?
You know, honestly, Paul, I'm going to say one of the guys that I'm most intrigued to see, or one of the guys that I'm really hoping to see is I think David Montgomery is a guy that I'm interested in seeing. I want to see what he's going to end up putting up. I mean, again, at this particular position, I don't know how in love I am with all the athletic testing, but I think the guys that spring to mind are the guys that for most people are probably the same guys. So I'm going to tell you, it's probably Devin Singletary, interested in seeing. I mean, he's gotten some really, really impressive praise and comparisons. I mean, I know Dane Brugler, who I respect tremendously, was comparing him to like a LeSean McCoy style player. I mean, that's tremendous praise, you know? I'm interested in seeing how a guy like David Montgomery, like I said, runs. A guy that's probably the most intriguing to me, and I'll give you a guy that's really intriguing to me, is Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders, to me, is a player that stands out above the rest, honestly, in terms of what he can do for himself. Forget whether or not I agree, disagree, or I think about the combine. Forget all that. If he blows up the combine, his stock is going to rise tremendously. He does it on film. And if people can see the athletic testing for whatever their reason is, whatever itch they got to scratch, if he has the athletic testing to match what he does on film, watch out, because he's a player that could skyrocket into that day two range. And I think he's a guy who can immediately catapult himself into a late round two, early round three conversation.
Yeah, and listen, I love that you brought up Miles Sanders. He would have been my number one guy. And let's not lose sight that Penn State players have been testing historically great at the combine. I mean, last year,
most
obviously,
underpaid strength and conditioning coach in the
Remember the safety last year? I think his name was like Troy Apke. You know, like blew up the combine. Obviously, we knew Barkley was, but you know, Gesicki outperformed all expectations last year. So it seems like those guys at
Robinson.
Penn State, you know, really Godwin a couple years ago, like these guys test out really well. And I think you're right. I think Miles Sanders is pretty functional to good at just about anything. I don't think there's anything that he's elite at, but if he tests like that he has great speed or better speed or burst than we expect, I think that is something that could kind of catapult him. If he shows off even better receiving skills, I think that could help his cause. So I think Miles Sanders is definitely one of the big storylines at the running back position. I still think he's going under the radar in the national consensus. I truly believe that. Another guy that I'm really looking forward to is Travion Williams. I think he's going to perform really well in the athletic testing. I love that he came out this week and called out some people and said he's the best, you know, pass protecting running back in this class. Was going a little bit back and forth the Lance Erline, all in fun. Lance Erline put on the tape and agreed with him. And I think Travion Williams is also going under the radar a little bit. I think he's an explosive player. I think he's going to test out really well in the explosive drills. I think he's going to jump really well. I think he's going to run a fast 40. You know, I'm not sure if he's going to, I think he'll do well in the change of direction drills, but I don't know if he's going to like dominate them. But I think in terms of the explosive drills, the 40 and the jumps, I think Travion Williams is going to do outstanding. I think he's going to look good in the pass catching drills as well. But I think there's a bunch of storylines here. You mentioned David Montgomery. I'm going to throw Damian Harris into the mix. Two of my top five running backs in this class. I don't think I'm moving off of both those guys. I don't think they're going to test tremendously well. And then I think you're going to start hearing some narrative that, oh, I don't know about them guys. And put that out to the side for running backs, guys. You know, they're both really, really good running backs that are fundamentally sound at so many different things. They're not these guys who are going to run 4.45s. They're just not. Expect 4.5 to 4.54 for probably both of those guys, I think. You know, maybe Damian Harris can sneak in with like a 4.48 or something like that, you know, which is where we saw guys like Dalvin Cook in that range and Joe Mixon, stuff like that. But I don't think any of them are going to be like these elite athletic testers. But I just think they're really good players. I think guys that are going to test out better than we expect. I know you're going to like this one, Matt, because you've been talking about this guy for a year.
Yeah, I
Mike
know exactly.
Weber,
yeah.
Mike Weber is going to be, I think, one of the stars of the combine. I think he, with Miles Sanders, is one of the more underrated backs in this class. I think he's going to test out really well. I don't think people realize the burst and the speed and the athleticism that Mike Weber has. I think he's going to test out really, really well in the combine, and I think he's going to start generating a little bit more buzz. Dexter Williams out of Notre Dame, he's going to run the 40 really quicker than people, I think for a guy his size. I don't think he's got much agility and change of direction skills, but I think straight bursts and acceleration, I think he generates a lot of power. So I'm excited to see Dexter Williams run the 40. I'm excited to see what Mike Weber does. Obviously, Darrell Henderson, you know, from Memphis, he's in consideration to probably run the fastest 40 time of the running backs. He's going to be explosive, I think. You already mentioned Singletary. So there's a lot of guys. I'm interested to see Elijah Holyfield is another guy. What kind of speed does he have? What kind of athleticism? How does he look in the pass catching drills? So a lot of intriguing guys.
I would kind of end it here by saying this about them. I mean, you mentioned a lot of the guys that I would have brought up. So I'm going to just kind of add to that and say, you know what? If I really had to break down the guys that I'm also most excited about, I would add into the mix Bryce Love. I think people are going to, you know, I know Bryce Love. I know the injury. I know all that stuff. I mean, I understand that. But remember, you know, remember who he was. And I know that there's something to be considered about him. So just a thing to think about as we're going forward. I am interested in also seeing Raquel Armstead. I do like Raquel Armstead and for what he can add to a roster. I think Justice Hill is an interesting player. I also think Miles Gaskin is interesting. You already brought up Mike Weber. Those would be the guys that stand out the most to me. I'm not ready to move completely on away from a player like Justice Hill. I'm not interested in moving on necessarily from a guy like Mike Weber or Miles Gaskin. I still think Rodney Anderson is an excellent talent. You know, I mean, I think all these guys are very interesting players. And I think that there's a lot of room here for growth in terms of what these guys can offer at the next level. And I'm going to say this, Paul, if we had to put it out there, who's going to have the most buzz at the running back position exiting the combine? I'll give you mine first.
Okay.
Because you went first last time. So I'm going to give you mine first. I think people are going to be buzzing about a player that they probably never saw coming anywhere. And I would say Miles Sanders, but we already talked a lot about him. So I'm going to kind of, you know, take a left and then make a right turn and come back to somebody that we mentioned earlier. I think people are going to be very interested to see just how good Justice Hill is. I think he's going to have some buzz exiting the combine.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I like that. I think Justice Hill is a guy who didn't have as elite of a statistical year as the previous one, but I think he's a guy who is a game breaker, a playmaker. I think he's going to do well here. I'm really glad you brought up Bryce Love and Rodney Anderson, because for them, it's all about the medicals. We're not going to see them on the field. No. Maybe no. We get a better idea of when they're capable of coming back. Is this a lost year for Bryce Love? Would he be back by training camp? I think that's going to be important if we hear anything else about that. So we didn't mention him yet, so I'll bring him up first, but he's not the guy I think is going to have people buzzing the most. We haven't talked about Josh Jacobs. I do think he's going to impress people with his total package. So last we've seen him, you know, Alabama was in the playoffs and he was doing his thing, but I think people are going to be surprised at how complete of a player he is. He's going to run a good 40 time. I would say somewhere in that 4.45 to 4.5 time. He's going to be explosive, I think, in the vertical and the broad. I think he's going to do pretty well in the change of direction drills. He's going to look great in the pass catching drills. He's going to check off all the boxes and probably be the most well-rounded, balanced player there. So I think he's going to continue to push himself into solidifying that round one talk. But a guy who I'm going to say is going to be most surprising, generate the most buzz, and I'm also going to say he's the guy that I'm going to say runs the fastest 40 time, which I'm going to ask you to answer that question next too. I'm going to say the guy who runs the fastest 40 time of the running backs isn't Darrell Henderson out of Memphis, who I think is going to fly. I think it's going to be his teammate, versatile offensive weapon, Tony Pollard out of Memphis, who I think is a Nyheim Hines-like player. I think he's going to blow up the combine. I think he's going to be a guy that's getting some round three, round four buzz post-combine for how good he looks here, and make people go to the tape and see how explosive of a weapon he was there at Memphis. So I didn't go with his teammate Henderson, who's been I think he's more the consensus pick for maybe run the fastest 40 time of the running backs. I'm going to go with his teammate and say Tony Pollard.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad choice either. And I'm going to go probably with, if I have to, I agree with you. I mean, I think Tony Pollard's going to probably blow it up. But I'm still going to go with Darrell Henderson. I think he's going to be flying. So I think it's going to be an all-Memphis track meet, to be honest with you, at this combine.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple other guys who can run good 40 times. I wouldn't be surprised to see Travis Homer run a good 40 time. I wouldn't be surprised to see Travion Williams, and I already mentioned Dexter Williams as well.
Justin,
so a couple of guys. And Justice Hill. Yeah, absolutely. So running back position, going to be intriguing. We haven't done the running back tier show. That's coming up next week, but there's a lot of guys here. And again, it's one of those, you have the bigger guys, you have the smaller guys, you have the change of pace, you know, committee shiftier type guys. It's going to be interesting to see how some of these guys test out. Do any of the bigger guys kind of surprise us with their athleticism? I think it's something I'm looking for. Like any of those guys like LJ Scott or Benny Snell. I have some athletic questions about a guy like Benny Snell. Maybe the combine can answer some of those questions that I might have. Does any of those guys kind of stand out a little bit is something that I'll be looking forward to seeing. So yeah. Any final thoughts on the running backs?
No. I think the guy that I'm really most interested to watch, if I'm going to really put on my evaluator hat and say, like, you know, to what degree is anything going to move the needle for me? I'm interested in seeing what Devin Singletary does. I really am, because you've seen a wide range of really what people expect from him. And I just want to see within my own eyes in some of these drills and some of these experiences or activities that he's doing what he looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think he's going to test pretty well, Singletary. I don't think he's going to blow the 40 up, but I think he'll probably do really well in the change of direction stuff, look good, you know, in the receiving drills and stuff like that. I think he'll test out well. I don't think he'll be one of the top performers in terms of athletic testing, but I do think he probably will do well. So let's take this to the wide receiver position. So a lot of guys, Matt, we just came off doing the tier show at the wide receiver position. Right off the bat, is there a few guys that you're most excited to see at the combine?
Yeah, so I think DK Metcalf is definitely your popcorn type of wide receiver. You got to get your popcorn and watch him. I also think that, you know, Marquise Brown would be a, you know, would have been a popcorn situation, obviously. Unfortunately, that's not going to be necessarily going on. I think Deontay Johnson is going to be an excellent fill in from Toledo. I know we talked about him on the show, and when we talked about him in our Tier Buster segment, man, that he is just incredibly explosive. In other words, like, I mean, talk about a guy that I think I'm still too low on. We talked about how there's going to be a lot of movement within tiers. Man alive, you watch him all the time, dude. And he's just absolutely agile, explosive, change your direction speed. You name whatever you want to say about him. He's very, very, very interesting. So I think he's going to be an interesting player. I think Emmanuel Hall is going to set the world on fire. I think people are going to look at him and they're going to be like, yeah, we knew he was athletic. We knew he was fast, but how fast and athletic? And I think people are going to be shocked at just how good he is. Also, I really also think that Antoine Wesley is going to be very interesting from Texas Tech. I think he's a guy who could blow up the world. I think people are going to look at him and say, no way, you know, he's 6'5", 200 pounds. You know, there's no way. He's just too long and lanky. He's not going to have the explosiveness that we're looking for. He's not going to be able to run the 40 time. But I think he's going to have a lot of what I would could say is there's going to be a lot of discontinuity, I think, in his measurements. I think you're going to see him do some drills exceptionally well and others not so well. I don't expect an outstanding 40, but as we talked about on the Tier Buster show, look for him to do pretty well in the change of direction drill, in the L drill. You know, look for those things. Look for him to be excellent when it comes to on-the-field performance in terms of getting in and out of his breaks in the open field drills. I think he's going to be really interesting. I think Darius Slayton from Auburn is going to be interesting. I think he's going to do a lot of things on the drills and also on the field drills and on the actual testing that's going to be interesting for you to watch. I think he's going to be good. Also, another guy that comes to mind is I think Terry McLaurin is going to finally just emerge and just say, hey, by the way, remember, I'm pretty good. And I think people are going to kind of look at him and say, wow, he's got the testing to go with the actual performance on the field. You know, he's clearly just been under the radar. You know, this is a guy that we need to watch. And finally, I mean, as we kind of fill out this list, I mean, honestly, I think Greg Dortch is going to look great. I think guys like Terry Godwin are going to look great. I think guys like Cody Thompson can be great. Those are pretty much where I stand, Paul. But I will say this: if I had to choose a player out of all of those wide receivers to say who am I hitching my wagon to as probably having the best overall buzz coming out of the combine, I think it's a two-man show. In my opinion, it's either going to be Emmanuel Hall, Deontay Johnson. Actually, a three-horse race. I'll even give it to DK Metcalf. I think those three players are going to be the players that are going to potentially have multiple drills in which they perform well. That would be my honest feeling on this. So those are guys that I'm excited to see.
Yeah, Matt, you brought up a lot of really interesting names there at the wide receiver position. You know, I'm not going to go through and talk about a lot of the same guys you just did because you did a great job outlining guys you're looking forward to, guys you think are going to test really well, like Emmanuel Hall. I know for me, I kind of broke it down. The things I'm most intrigued by is the big-bodied guys and then the small interior slot guys. You know, the big-bodied guys are Siegel Whiteside, DK Metcalf, N'Keal Harry, Hakeem Butler, Calvin Harmon. How do those guys look? Do they check off the boxes of things we expect in the check off? Their vertical jumps. That's how they win a lot of these guys. So is there any surprise results in the vertical jump that makes us a little bit concerned that maybe these guys didn't have that ability to high point as much as we thought, and there was more them just using their size and physicality, which was so, you know, obvious a calling card at the collegiate level, but might not be as much at the NFL level. I think DK Metcalf is going to test out tremendously. I'm most looking forward to see him in the change of direction stuff and on field drills. We've all seen how big he is in that most recent photo. So I want to see him and his movement skills, you know, going more laterally and that stuff than I think the 40 in the jumps, which I think he's going to dominate. Calvin Harmon, I think, is going to be functional to above average in just about everything. I don't have a lot of questions. I think his play speed is really good. I think he'll check off boxes that he needs to. I don't think he's going to be explosive or elite, though, in any of these athletic testing. I think it's Whiteside, N'Keal Harry, and Butler are the guys I'm most intrigued with because I do have some separation, you know, quickness concerns with those guys. Do those guys surprise me at all in the change of direction drills, in the 40, and kind of test, you know, better than I think? Do anybody test really poorly and runs like a 4.58 or something in the 4.6s, which throws up a major red flag considering these guys are being talked about as top 30 or top 100 guys in the first couple rounds? So those are the big guys that I'm most interested to see. In terms of the small guys, the slot guys, is there any difference in guys like Andy Isabella, you know, Hunter Renfro? You talked about Greg Dortch. I'll throw even a bigger slot guy like Keyshawn Johnson in the mix there. You know, does anybody stand out? I think they're all going to test well in the change of direction stuff and look really fluid in their pass catching drills. But does Andy Isabella really run in the 4.3s, which is what the rumors are? I mean, which is just flying if he does, you know, for how quick he is also. Do anybody test out really well from those inside guys? So I'm excited to see the small guys. I'm excited to see the big guys. I'm excited to see what A.J. Brown tests. I don't think he's going to blow it up, but does he just not hurt himself? And did he just kind of say status quo, similar to Calvin Harmon? I think Deebo Samuel will do really well. But the two guys that I think are going to generate the most buzz from the wide receiver position are two guys that, if you listen to the wide receiver tiers, I had them both at the back end of my top 10. I think Paris Campbell and Mecole Hardman are going to be the two guys generating the most buzz, the guys that we're hearing people say, you know, were two of the bigger winners from the wide receiver position. I think both of those guys are going to test out really well athletically. You know, if they look good in the drills as well, I think they're going to walk away as big winners. So those are probably my big storylines. Anything from what I said, Matt, that you kind of want to chime in on, or anybody else that maybe we haven't brought up that you're intrigued to see?
No, I think, again, I think we just kind of go out here and we say, fabricate the storyline. Paul, one player, who's the guy that you're most intrigued to watch?
I'm going to say it's Paris Campbell. I think he's also going to be my pick to run the fastest 40 time. So I'll kind of lump them in together, but I don't think Mecole Hardman is going to be that behind him in terms of generating buzz and in terms of his 40 time. How about you?
So the guy that I'm most interested in watching is probably going to be Diontae Johnson. I want to see if everything is really what it is. And my guy to run the fastest 40 time is going to be Emmanuel Hall.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Emmanuel Hall. You know, if I said 4.4 flat, 4.40, you taking the over or the under on Emmanuel Hall?
I think I'm going to take the over. But I also think that means I'm also saying that guys like Isabella and some of the guys we just mentioned are going to probably be just over as well. I mean, again, 4.3s, I think, is flying. I mean, you're talking immensely flying. So would it shock me if Emmanuel Hall was at 4.4 flat? No. But I think I'm going to take the over. I think I'm going to take the over on that.
Yeah, and listen, I think people sometimes realize, I mean, off the top of my head, I think Saquon Barkley's official was like 4.4 flat. I think that what it was, 4.40 or 4.41 or something like that. So, I mean, you're talking about guys who, you know, 4.40 is not easy to do. Like, there's not a lot of guys that do that. I think Marquise Brown would have definitely done it. I think you might have saw a 4.2 in his, like a 4.28 or 4.29 if he was running. I think the guys that have a shot to run the fastest 40s, it'll be interesting to see if anybody breaks 4.40 flat, I think, are the guys we've talked about. Isabella, Emmanuel Hall, Paris Campbell, Mecole Hardman. I'd be surprised. Now, maybe there's a guy, you know, that under the radar guy, you know, maybe like one of these guys, you know, from a small level school, you know, could kind of come out of nowhere, you know, and be that guy. I know like the guy, Ashton Doolin from Malone University is supposed to have really good athleticism. I mean, maybe there's a surprise guy in there, but in terms of the other guys, I think we kind of hit them. I think Terry Godwin can run a fast time too, but I don't think as fast as the guys we've talked about. You know, I think those are the major storylines. And one other guy, just because we haven't brought him up, I'm interested to see Jalen Hurd, the running back, convert to wide receiver. How does he look overall in just the fluidity and movement skills, you know, in terms of running the drills and then the change of direction stuff, you know, things that teams are going to be looking for at that wide receiver position, you know, how does he kind of perform? So those are the things that intrigue me most. Any final thoughts on the wide receivers?
No, I think you put everything pretty well into context. I think there's a really fun time. I think these guys are going to be popcorn only watching. So I'm excited to bring it on and let's see where it goes. Let's take a look at the tight ends now. So Paul, as you kind of scan the tight end position and as we look through it and we kind of ask ourselves who are going to be those guys that we're most intrigued to watch. I mean, listen, I think it's hard to not say that we're going to all be intrigued to some degree to watch TJ Hockenson and see whether or not everything matches with what we had talked about in terms of what we see on film and how he's going to perform on the field of play. But Paul, I don't think the discussion starts and stops there. I think there's a lot of intriguing guys at this position. So just to play nicely, I'll unroll it to you now. Please give me an idea. What are some of the guys that you're most intrigued about at the position? And who are you picking right now to run the fastest 40?
Yes, I mean, in terms of the fastest 40, I'm going to say that is going to be Noah Fant. I don't think anybody else is going to compete with him, to be honest with you. I think he's going to be the clear leader in the clubhouse in terms of the fastest 40. If I had to say someone that could maybe push him, I would say Irv Smith Jr., but I think it's more a distant second there than really pushing him in terms of first. I think the big storylines are, obviously you mentioned Hockenson already. I think he's going to test out better athletically than we expect him to, even better. So I think he's going to check off even more boxes and continue to build that momentum as a potential top 15 pick in this draft. I think Irv Smith is going to check off every box. I think his route running in terms of the drills is going to look great. I think he's going to test out well in all the athletic testing. So I think he's going to continue to generate buzz as that first round pick. And then Noah Fant's going to be one of the more athletic tight ends that we've seen. I think he's going to put up a combine that is reminiscent of, you know, what Mike Gesicki did last year, what Evan Engram did, you know, what OJ Howard put up a freakish combine. So I think the big three guys, and I'll leave it there and then let you jump in and then I'll come back with some other under the radar guys. I think the big three guys are all going to be fascinating to watch because I just think they're just going to all really walk away impressing us. I don't think there's going to be any question marks of the big three guys that have been generating that round one, early round two buzz. I think they're going to all look tremendous at the combine.
Isaac Nauta. I keep throwing his name out there in hopes that it'll continue to get some roll, so to speak. But I think Isaac Nauta is going to surprise a lot of people. I think people are going to leave this combine saying, wow, didn't realize he was as fast as that. Huh. His athletic testing, not in every area, but, you know, his change of direction was great. Looked really competent on the field of play. Looked really balanced in all the drills that he did. Like, really got good feet. Looks like he can do things. I think Isaac Nauta is going to drive people back to his tape. I also think another guy who I'll throw in there as two guys that could challenge for the 40. I'll give you two guys that I think could challenge for the 40. And I do agree with you. I think it's Fant and probably everybody else. But two guys that Ian had mentioned, I'm going to throw Alize Mack in there and Dawson Knox. I think Dawson Knox is going to be ridiculously faster than everybody is contemplating. I think he's going to be... See, I think Irv Smith is quick. And I think in a straight line, probably not going to be his strength. I think his L drill, I think his change of direction drill, I think Irv Smith's going to have everybody pretty much beat by a country mile. Okay. But I do think in a straight line, I think you're going to see Alize Mack is going to be one of the better athletic performers at the combine in terms of the position. I really do. I think when you look at his change of direction drill, I think he's going to be number two to Irv Smith. I think in a straight line, I think he's going to probably be either number two or number three to Noah Fant. I do think Dawson Knox is a guy who could challenge Fant as the number one fastest 40. I think Dawson Knox is very fast if you watch him. He's quick. Okay. He unloads. His explosive strength is incredible. And that doesn't shock you when you really look at him as a blocker, what he does in the blocking, the run game. He's got strength in that lower body and he can access it immediately. He's got a lot of ability there. So those are two guys that I think, you know, those are three guys that I think when you're asking me who I'm kind of pulling for and hoping that they kind of realize their full breadth of athletic capability so they get a high draft position. It's definitely those guys. I'm pulling for those guys, Dawson Knox, Isaac Nauta in particular, and also Alize Mack. I think those three guys are going to be really, really interesting, and they're going to be really fun. And also I'll give you one more guy who I think people are going to be surprised at too. I think Drew Sample is going to overall test a little bit better than people think. I know people don't love him. I think he's definitely a fringe level starter. He's not even, you know, he's a fringe level backup player, you know. But I think he's more athletic than people give him credit for. And I thought he was pretty decent at Washington. So I'm going to say those are four guys that I'm interested in watching. I think Nauta has some of the most buzz coming out of the combine. And I think closely behind him, I think you're going to be two of the athletic kind of stars that we haven't really kind of been honing in on because of the cloud and the shadow that the big three have been kind of really kind of casting over this entire class. But I do think Alize Mack and Dawson Knox are going to kind of, you know, shake some trees and rattle some bushes.
Yeah, listen, those are two of the other guys that I definitely wanted to bring up. So I'm glad you brought up Dawson Knox. I'm glad you brought up Alize Mack. I think he could be a big surprise guy that really impresses people and starts generating more buzz. I think Dawson Knox is going to test out well. He's one of those guys that, listen, his statistics, his production, those people are not going to like what they see. But if you watch glimpses of him on film when he did get an opportunity, he really made the most of it. I think his athletic testing is going to be really well. I'll throw a couple other names. I think Jay Sternberger is going to dominate the combine as well. I think he's another guy that when you put everything together, his jumps, his 40, his all the testing numbers, I wouldn't even be surprised if he test out better than, you know, some guys that we're not even expecting. Cause I do think he's going to put a really strong workout across the board. So Sternberger is a guy. I think he's going to leave the combine as being a guy who's going to be a top 75 pick. People are going to, he's already generating buzz as a day two guy, but I think he might even start being pushed up to, you know, round two, early round three. I think that Sternberger is a guy that if he medically everything checks out, I think he's going to be a guy that's generating a lot of buzz. I think the name that no one is talking about, and I don't even know that much about him, only marginal film out there on him, is the Cahale Waring out of San Diego State. I think he's a guy, if you hear and listen to the whispers that are out there, this is a guy who some people think could end up being a top 100 pick. So this might be his coming out party. So I'm really intrigued to see every facet of this kid. You know, how does he test out well in the limited film that's out there on him? You know, he looks like he's really athletic. He can hit good ball skills, good movement skills. How does he look in this setting? I think he's going to be a big winner. And I know two guys that we talked a lot about on the tight end tier show, Matt, Josh Oliver and Dax Raymond. I said I had them really close to each other because, you know, and I said the combine was going to kind of help me sort those guys a little bit. Now, I think Josh Oliver is the better athlete, and I think he's a little bit quicker and faster. But this is an opportunity to put him on a level playing field. You know, they both played at a lower level of competition. This kind of, you know, gets me an opportunity to kind of see these guys and kind of use it, going back to where we started the show, use it a little bit as a tiebreaker to kind of help me sort some of these guys within the same tiers at my position, my positional rankings. So I'm looking forward to seeing Oliver, looking forward to seeing Dax Raymond. Do they just have functional athleticism in terms of their speed, quickness, or is it above average or good or anything like that? Or maybe it's below average and it's not even functional, but on the field it looked functional, which is good to see on the field. But in terms of a setting like this, it might not even come across as functional. So I'm interested to kind of see some of these under the radar guys, you know, kind of perform there. Obviously the big guys as well. I'm really intrigued by this tight end group. I think it's a really strong group. We haven't even talked about guys like Keenan Brown, former, Oklahoma State, transferred to small school Texas State, you know, former wide receiver. You know, there's a lot of guys there. Zach Gentry, how does he look? You know, a whole bunch of guys, Caden Smith, who, you know, one of the top tight ends in the class. Like, I don't think the combine is going to be the event for him to really shine in, but does he just come across as average, kind of checking that box and not give people concern that he's below average in terms of his athleticism? So a lot to look for here at the tight end. Usually it's kind of just like a little bit of the forgotten position, but this is a really extensive list of tight ends, more than I think's usually been at the combine. And I think it's warranted. And we didn't even talk about Caleb Wilson, real good pass catching tight end. Does he show the movement skills that people think he can be successful strictly as a pass catching tight end? Cause he's not going to be a guy that's asked to block much or play in line, or is he just functional to, you know, above average athleticism? And then teams might say, yeah, that's okay. But if he's going to be strictly a pass catching guy, we need better than that. We need, you know, good or very good athleticism and movement skills, you know, in terms of speed and quickness and route running, separation quickness. So I think it's a fun group to look at the tight ends, really looking forward to it. So there it is, the offensive positions. You know, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. I'm excited for the combine. I understand what it is and what it isn't, but it's still fun to kind of see all these guys together, especially when we bring all the underclassmen back. Matt, any final parting shots before I give mine?
Listen, this is like a summer blockbuster hit, right? I mean, you go to the summer blockbuster movies and you're expecting to be, you know, oohed, awed, and you're expecting to be entertained, right? I mean, this is what it is. The combine should be entertaining. You know, I think there's merit. I think there's merit to some, you know, some of those on the field drills that they do run, even if the information and the variables that are at play are even just distantly, even minusculely related to what would be on the field of play actually on Sunday, even how distant they are. I'm just interested in seeing some of those movement skills in isolated scenarios from vantage points and from perspectives and camera angles that I don't get the chance to see when I watch it on Saturdays. The telecasts aren't always the best kind of angles. They're probably the worst angles to get a feel for how the player's body is actually moving. So again, you're going to hear me say all the time, I don't really care too much about the drills per se, meaning like the actual tests. I care about the drills a little bit more because I just want to at least see how their body moves throughout the space and time and just dealing with all those variables as we go. And I would kind of leave it here and just say this. I mean, you know, I think that the combine itself, again, it's going to give you an understanding of just how much athletic depth there is. But ultimately, if the player doesn't show anything on film that indicates that they have the potential to tap into it, then it's just like any other muscle that goes unused. And that's not to say that coaching can't unlock that, but that means that the landing spot is going to be even more important. And I think that the biggest thing that happens out of this is invariably, you know what? Draft capital, for the most part, is really what makes a lot of these prospects' futures go. So from me to every one of them, I really wish you guys 100% the best luck. I want you to go out there and blow it up because you know what? You deserve the opportunity to see the field. And the reality is this particular event may cause a guy going, you know, may cause a guy to drop around. It may happen. And if it does, dropping around could mean significantly less snaps or maybe a more encumbered opportunity. Maybe he goes to a team that has more depth at his position. And all of a sudden now his climb to stardom is way more challenged. So, I mean, there's a lot of subtext to what the event can mean for prospects' future performance. But I think in terms of actually predicting it, I'm not really necessarily sold on it. But in terms of tangentially maybe predicting a little bit of it, draft capital, opportunity, breaking ties, tier busters, yeah, I'm on board with that. And I think the drills on the field from an evaluative perspective are going to give me actually a firsthand look at what they can do physically that I don't get from a telecast. So I'm at least interested to see all that. Paul, again, I think if you take the summer blockbuster mentality, I think there's a lot of room here. If you're going in there, you know, pen and paper, trying to unpack the X's and O's, I think you're going to find yourself a little disappointed.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I have a couple parting shots here. One is, yeah, the drills are fun to watch. Listen, I get the gauntlet drill is not something anyone's ever going to have to do. Catch a whole bunch of footballs in a rapid fire like that. You throw them down on the ground. But you know what it does get to at least show you? You see some guys battle the ball, and you see who's a natural hands catcher and who's not. Like, I know back years ago, Matt and I loved Sammy Coates. You saw him battle in the gauntlet drill. You could see it wasn't something that came natural to him. So there are some things you can garner from those on the field drills. Second, final thing. I forgot two names when we were back at the wide receiver position, and I'd be remiss. We went through so many names who are going to fly. Alex Wesley, former track guy, is going to run fast. And then a guy who could be in consideration for fastest 40 time. So I had to make sure I bring him up. Darius Slayton out of Auburn is going to fly. So yeah, he needed to be added to that mix of guys like Emmanuel Hall and Paris Campbell and Mecole Hardman, of a couple guys who could be in the running for fastest 40. Darius Slayton out of Auburn, underutilized there, but really good athleticism, good speed bursts. So he's going to be intriguing. And then final, last parting shot to kind of go along with more of what Matt was saying. We love this event. I know I love this event. It's must-watch TV for me. I'll be live tweeting my thoughts on every single player that runs the 40, you know, at the NFL Combine. But let's take into account the last 2 years. The last 2 years, all the hoopla 2 years ago after the Combine was Dalvin Cook is not the player we thought he was. Not for Matt and I. We pushed back and said, are you kidding me? We're really going to push Dalvin Cook down and say he doesn't warrant being taken in the first 40 or 50 picks? You know, obviously there was some off the field stuff, but there were people, especially in the dynasty community, that were really down on Dalvin Cook because his change of direction drills weren't good, his explosive jumps weren't good, and he ran a good 40, but that was basically the end of Dalvin Cook is performance in terms of being good. Everything else was really poor. I'm talking like bottom 10% poor. Did that matter? Dalvin Cook got into the NFL, immediately showed his capabilities, unfortunately suffered an injury that first year. And then, but even this year, you start to see glimpses of the player Dalvin Cook could be, franchise type running back. And then just last year, every single combine discussion after the combine started and ended with Calvin Ridley and how much of a loser he was after the combine. And people were mostly harping that on his jumps, which that's never been Calvin Ridley's game. It'll never be Calvin Ridley's game. And, you know, one of the change of direction drills was subpar as well. But if you don't use that to erase everything you watched on film, because Matt and I kept screaming from the hilltop, he's the best route runner in the class. He still belongs in the first round. And you saw a lot of people moving him down after his combine performance last year. And that wasn't just moving guys within tiers. People were moving him down wholeheartedly because of how he tested. It wasn't like they had him tied for two and they moved him to three. You saw people who had him at one or two who were pushing him down to like four or five because of the combine drills. That's overreacting to the combine and realizing, take it for what it's worth. Don't change your entire opinion on a player because of something you see or don't see at the combine. So I think that's really important to go in there. Matt, I know I already came to you, but I just went off on a couple things. Any last thing that either you want to harp on that I said or anything else before I wrap it up?
No, Paul, you said everything that needed to be said. Don't overreact. Don't underreact. Just react. React to it in a rational, thoughtful manner. Constantly comparing what they're doing with what you saw on film and really asking the question, are any of the tests themselves individually indicative of how they're going to play this complex, chaotic sport that we call football? Is there any connection to all of these drills and a player's ability to do that? What's the final test in your mind? It should be the film. The final test is game day. That's the final test. And that just supersedes everything that's about to happen. So I ask you guys, like Paul did, don't overreact, don't underreact. React. But you know what? Also, grab your popcorn, baby. This is a summer blockbuster. Comes early because it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun for all of us to sit there and root for our players and root for all those players. Guys, I know we're rooting for everybody out there. And I know from my perspective, I'm just saying everybody out there as well, we're rooting for you guys to enjoy this event.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, guys, if you like what Matt and I have been doing, please make sure you get back and check out the three tier episodes. We're going to round out our Tier Buster series early next week with the running back show as well. If you like what we're doing, please get over to the website, SaturdaySundayFootball.com. Click on the premium content tab, purchase the notebooks for $9.99. You get access to all four notebooks. You get the 2019 scouting notebook. It has over 100 player profiles of 2019 offensive prospects. You get our profiles on guys that we studied in the summer who didn't declare, guys like Brian Edwards and Brian Lewerke and Dez Fitzpatrick. You know, you also get our rankings notebook, which has our draft eligible rankings based on film, our tier breakdowns, who makes up our tiers. You get the Dynasty Rookie Rankings right after the draft. I'm still updating last year's Dynasty Rookie Rankings as they enter their first offseason in the NFL to kind of help guide you in your Dynasty Leagues in terms of potential trades between those guys. So much there. You also then get the Freshman Notebook in late March, early April, which has profiles on the top incoming freshmen, and then the Draft Projections Notebook in April as well. We've had a lot of support lately. Greatly appreciate it. It is the best way to support the show and help us grow and continue to do what we're doing every single week for you guys. So with that said, on behalf of Matt, on behalf of our sound and tech engineer, David Nakano, and myself, thank you for joining us. And we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.